People have a misconception of civilization. People are thinking that civilization means advanced material technology, science, and improvements in the comforts of life. And this is the standard by which people considered a place to be civilized. A place where there is flushing toilets, a place where there is running water, a place where there's good quality hospitals, good working telephones and televisions, nice smooth roads, nice schools with good facilities to teach people about mundane civilization, how to improve their eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. In other words, where there is advanced, sophisticated improvements for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, that is called civilization. It is civilization. According to the Vedas, it is animal civilization. No doubt, the animals also have their civilizations. Amongst the pack of wolves or the pack of dogs, they have their civilization. They work together, sometimes cooperatively, to improve their eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But human civilization is altogether different. Because human life is meant for only one purpose, and that is self-realization. Human life is meant to be conscious of God and to serve God in that consciousness, in everything we do, everything we say, everything we think. Krishna says in Gita, Yat karoshi rashnashi yaj duhoshi tapasya yat tapasya sikonta yatat kurusha madarapana. That whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer and give away, whatever austerities you perform, should be done as an offering to me. Yagyaratat kamanon yatra lokomam karma bandana taratam karma kontaya mukta sangha samacha. That whatever work anyone does should be done as a sacrifice to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. That is civilization. Civilization means varnashram dharma. Varnashram dharma means that this human society is divided into four varnas and four ashrams. The Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras. The Brahmacharis, Grihasthas, Vanaprasthas, and Sannyasis. And Daiva Varnashram means that they all work together in perfect harmony and trust for the sake of serving one another to achieve the highest perfection of life. Atapumdir vijasreshtas varnashrami vibhagasha chanustadasya dharmasya samsadira haritosha. That whatever varna or ashram we may be temporarily situated in, it is all for only one purpose, to please Krishna, to serve Krishna. Otherwise, it is all a waste of time. Shrama eva hi kevalam. The Bhagavatam explains that whatever occupation, whatever field of life, if it does not increase your desire to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, then shrama eva hi kevalam. Consider that you have simply wasted your time futilely. This is human civilization. To understand these principles. But unfortunately, the most civilized society in all of this world, which has been historically found in this great land of Bharatvarsha, has so tragically been compromised and practically forgotten due to the infiltration of other animalistic, uncivilized conceptions. Our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, used to tell us that when he was young, as a boy, when India was under the British rule, that there was propaganda in all the schools, in all the colleges, amongst the big, big politicians, everywhere, that whatever was from London was civilized, and whatever was from India was uncivilized. Whatever was from London had quality, and whatever was from India was useless. To the extent that the British would grow tea leaves in India, and they were considered useless, cheap tea leaves. So they would send them to London and package them in a British box and send them back to India, and then all the wealthy people would spend fortunes to buy British brand tea leaves, which was growing right in their backyard. Because unless it had some connection to this, it was basically just low class. And this country has so much been exploited and brainwashed with these conceptions that people have forgotten what is Vedic civilization. What is a civilization based on service to God and devotion to God? And this is not only a great tragedy for this land, but for the whole world. When Lord Sri Ram, when Lord Sri Krishna, when Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when all of these great avatars appeared in this land of Bharatvarsha, they came to establish a civilization that would transform the consciousness of the whole world. But we have so much rejected this civilization. To study the Bhagavatam is not very important. But to make medical research or research into sending satellites into outer space or research into higher technology of computers, that is civilization. That is higher education. Forget about morality. Forget that you're not this body, you're the eternal soul. That is the condition of this land today. There's no doubt modern technology can be used, but if it is not utilized in a spirit of truth and knowledge, it will only create havoc in this world. And that is what we find is happening. So to come back to the roots of what Varnashram Dharma is a very systematically arranged society created by no other than God Himself so that everyone can progress toward the real goal of life, liberation from the repetition of birth and death, eternal blissful consciousness in the service of the Lord. And Krishna explains in Gita, Chaturvarna Mayastristam Guna Karma Vibhaga, that this Varnashram system is based on the natural inclinations and quality of a person. It has nothing to do with birth. The perverted conception of the caste system today has really little or nothing to do with the system created by Krishna. The caste system today is not based on the principle of elevating everyone equally toward the position of liberation and love of God, but it is based on the principle of ego and exploitation, and therefore there's nothing spiritual about it. It's basically another extension of uncivilized life without God in the center. But this Varnashram system is very scientifically designed so that everyone, men, women, children, from all places, can all perfect their lives without competition. We have our particular duty, we have our particular inclination, we perform it under certain regulations by which we can live morally, we can live harmoniously, and we can gradually become purified through the very performance of our work. But in the educational systems today here in India, do they teach the Daiva Varnashram system? They are training the citizens to be uncivilized. Or as Guru Maharaj used to say, sophisticated, polished animals. What is the use? What future? What happiness? In the countries where science, technology is based on these uncivilized principles, what is happening to the very root of their society? It is just decaying. Morality is decaying. Trust is decaying. And such nations cannot stand for very long. The United States of America may have the power of weapons and technology to conquer the world, but from the inside, they're conquering themselves. Such a society is self-destructive, and anyone who examines it carefully sees that it is happening. Immorality, sinful activity, social unrest, distrust is rampant. And anyone is willing to do anything to anyone for their sense enjoyment. Because there's no conception of tapasya, of detachment for a higher purpose. So it is so wonderful when we see that people are coming back to the real, pure, and wonderful social lifestyle organized by Krishna himself, in which we can progress in spiritual life. And one of the principles is in the Grihastha ashram. We put God in the center. We don't put ourselves in the center, because we don't even know who ourselves are. Today the Grihastha ashram is simply, not Grihastha ashram, but today so-called family life is simply under the misconception that we are all our bodies and let us serve each other's bodies. Everyone's so desperately concerned with getting enough money for food to feed their bodies, with getting enough medication to heal the sickly bodies, with getting a nice house to give some luxury and shelter to the body, to tax one's brain looking everywhere to find some arrangement of marriage to give security to each other, to our children's bodies. This is not Grihastha ashram. Grihastha ashram is when we put Krishna in the center. No doubt that marriage principles must be there, and food must be there. Everything should be there. The house must be there. But that is not our purpose. That is not what we live for. Those are just insignificant details. The real thing we live for is Krishna, purification and elevation of consciousness. And that comes when we put God in the center. And what is the recommended process of putting God in the center of our family? What is the difference between Grihamedi and Grihastha? That we acknowledge that everything and everyone in our household is Krishna's property. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva lokamaheshwaram sudhidam sarva bhutanam jyatvam namashantimachitam. Krishna is the proprietor of everything. And therefore, everything is meant for his enjoyment. And he is the true well-wishing friend of all living beings. The process is that we welcome the deity of the Lord into our home and put him in a prominent part of our home and acknowledge amongst each other, as well as to anyone who comes to our house, that this is Krishna's house. On his behalf, I am the caretaker. On his behalf, our whole family is working together in Krishna's service. This is Grihastha Ashram. Everything else is Grihamedi Ashram. Grihastha Ashram, not Grihamedi Ashram, is Grihamedi life. Ashram means a place where people are progressing spiritually. Grihastha means Krishna is in the center. It is a place where we follow four regulative principles as a family. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. It is a place where we come together to hear the glories of the Lord by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. It is a place where we come together to perform kirtan regularly, the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. It is a place where we regularly are always anxious to invite sadhus to our home to give knowledge and blessings, direction in how we should live, and to serve them. And it is a place where all of our food is offered to Krishna as prasad. And everyone in the house is thinking how they can help one another to serve the beautiful deity of Krishna. That is civilized society. That is spiritual society. That is real Varnashram. And this is the greatest need. So we are so pleased, so happy to be here today where Mr. Chakrapani's family is dedicating themselves in the service of Sri Sri Nitai Gaurachandra. It is the hope for the future of the world when we see people dedicating their families in this way. Today what we are witnessing is not a formal installation, prana pratishtha. Because within our sampradaya, prana pratishtha is very strict. When you do the installation of that sort, you are making vows to do the deity worship according to the Hari Bhakti Vilas Archan Padahati. And Srila Prabhupada explains that before you can formally install deities, he said there has to be at least 10 initiated Brahmins living full time in that place to carry on services of 6 offerings, 6 aartis a day, and in a very high quality, according to the Shastra. So that is quite burdensome and impractical for a family to do. But what we have here is just as good. In fact, it is better according to time and circumstance. Is we are officially, with great feeling and devotion, welcoming Sri Sri Nitai Gaurachandra into our home and publicly acclaiming that this home is yours. All the wealth in this home is yours. All the people in this home are your servants. And we are coming together to promise you, Lord, that according to our means, we will put you in the center and to think of you, to please you, will be the purpose of our lives. The Abhishek ceremony is the traditional form of offering our heart's love to the Lord. It's not that Krishna simply enjoys being bathed in dahi and milk and honey and various fruit juices and sugar waters and ghee. How would you like to be bathed in all of these substances? Cow dung, cow urine. But these articles are all very auspicious. But what makes them auspicious is not only the not so much the purity of the substance itself, but the purity in which it is offered. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta payas. Krishna has given us a wonderful civilization where there are many rituals, but each of these rituals is specifically designed to facilitate human beings to offer their love and devotion to the Lord with great care. To really go out of their way to do something wonderful for Krishna. That's what pleases Krishna. It is not ghee on his body that pleases him. It is the ghee that is offered by the hands of his devotees in love that pleases him. Krishna loves to bathe in the ocean of devotion, which is coming from the hearts of the devotees. And when the pujari is performing the abhishek, we should know that it's not just him offering his love, but he is representing the congregation of everyone present, offering everyone's love. And when we come together at these ceremonies and we are all sincerely and devotionally chanting the holy names, then we should know Krishna is accepting that devotion. And he has made such a wonderful, beautiful ceremony just to attract our hearts to his loving service. So this is the greatest pleasure when we see people advancing in spiritual life, when we see people increasing their commitment and responsible devotional efforts in Krishna consciousness. And it is truly a festival. And we have all come to celebrate. We have all come to celebrate that Sri Sri Gaur-Nitai has come to claim proprietorship over this house and this family. Just like the British came to claim proprietorship over India. The Mughals at one time came to claim proprietorship over India. The Greeks tried, but I don't think they did very good. And as the Europeans came and claimed proprietorship over America, people like to come and claim proprietorship. But it is all an illusion, because there is only one proprietor of everything, and that is Krishna. He is the creator. He is maintaining everything, and ultimately, according to his will, everything will be destroyed. He is the proprietor. So today, Sri Gaur-Nitai, Lord Chaitanya is the Yuga Avatar, the incarnation of Krishna, who has come to teach us the process of purification in this age, to give what no other incarnation has given, love of God freely to all, without discrimination of one's physical or social position. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna and Sri Radharani in one form, and Lord Nityananda is the original spiritual master Balaram. Nitai Gauranga came to this world about 500 years ago to distribute the Yuga Dharma, the means by which everyone can become perfect, and by the means by which the society can be unified through the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Today, Nithai Gaurasundar has come to claim proprietorship over the house and the family of Chakrapani. And we are very happy that they have come. They have come to conquer our hearts, steal our love from everything else in this world. But they only come to such a place when we really want them. It is our great fortune. Either you dedicate everything to Krishna and offer it to him with love in your life and achieve perfection, or you try to keep it for yourself. But Krishna's going to get it anyway. At the time of death, he takes everything away. At the time of death, he takes everything away, and if we're not devotional, then all we get out of it, Krishna gets it all, and all we get is another miserable birth, reaping the karma of all of our selfish activities. Or we can offer it to Krishna in love, as we are doing today, and we become jubilant, and we go back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much.